Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome back to the NSFW podcast right here on Balls Up. If you're listening on the podcast app or Spotify, please do leave a good review and rate us 5 stars. Or if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button right now and leave a comment saying what you would change and what you would like to see us talk about next week. Joining me on the show today, we've got Corporate Dave, we've got Big Sav Berry, and we've got even bigger Dave Horner.
So that's just a rude intro, isn't it?
Colin. Whilst me and Sarah were on
the phone. Oh, he's on the table. Right, anyway, what's everybody been up to? Corporate Dave, where you been?
We're 1 minute in. That's the best thing you're going to say all episode.
Yeah, man.
I was doing a live show on Saturday with Steve Sidwell.
Oh, yeah,
he's
man.
A really nice fella, Steve Sidwell.
Yeah, what was he saying?
He was telling me some good stories about, well, as a fella who I probably can't name, did used to manage Aston Villa and Leicester though.
Okay.
And apparently he's an absolute arsehole.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Is he still managing that?
I don't know if he is. And apparently he basically wouldn't give any kind of instruction. It'd be like, just go out and play, and if you'd won, you can bugger off to like bloody Dubai for 4 nights. As long as you won, that's all that makes a difference.
Really,
so man. Yeah, and he wasn't really a big fan of him.
I've heard Steve Sidwell tell a story as well before about Breda Hangeland and the cheese.
Oh, it's gold. So what's his name? Felix McGrath.
Yeah,
Felix
McGrath.
He's like a, what's his name? Felix McGrath.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I just remember him saying, "What a bastard."
Yeah, so basically, it's like, so he's like a kind of like manager at Fulham. He was also at Bayern Munich and won the
German
Bundesliga. Was he German? Yeah. So Breda Hangeland had a bit of a knee strain. And Felix came down, the manager, and went, "Look, don't start messing about with any MRIs. Don't, you know," he actually told the physio, "don't touch him." Nip down to Sainsbury's, get some cheese, rub it on your knee.
I know, and did he have to phone his mum or something?
Yeah, and then ring his mum.
I know.
What?
He had some really weird training regimes, Felix McGrath.
Well, hold up, hang on. Did it work?
No, it didn't.
No, definitely not. You know, he used to like make people...
Just run
up and down a hill until they passed out, basically. And just literally his pre-season would be run up and down that hill until somebody passes out. Like, what kind of modern training is that?
That's the thing.
He's honestly a nutter. An absolute nutter.
But where's he now?
Don't know. Running some concentration
camp. He's passed out at the bottom of the hill.
Mental.
Yeah, he's just probably in the army. He's just probably in the army.
Yeah.
Felix.
Yeah, big time.
Mate.
Yeah, but Steve Sidwell was a lovely fella. Really, really nice.
You related to him?
Zing. So Dave was on a show, Savile.
And then I watched Incredibles 2.
Oh, it wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I think people hyped about it.
I haven't seen it yet.
As if it's...
Should we go?
It's okay.
No.
But the way people were saying, "Oh, incredible!" Like, because I remember watching the first one. I absolutely loved it. In fact, I went to see that with Milad when we were about 15 or something. Just me and Milad on like a date. But I was just like, in fact, I actually walked out the last 10 minutes. I was like, I'm just so tired.
Shut up!
It's boring.
You missed the last 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You walked out the credits, surely.
Yeah, credits. Yeah. But yeah, I was extremely disappointed. You know, whereas
was out 10 minutes to go. Yeah. Credits.
Whereas if that was whereas if that was a Warner Brothers movie, I'd probably stay to you.
CD.
Anyway, sorry, Sav, I did kind of cut you off.
Was good, bro. I've just been trying to get ahead, seeing as it is Bank Holiday Monday, that you're seeing this on.
For us in the UK, at least.
For us in the UK.
And we've got Sports Day, haven't we?
And we've got Sports Day at Diagonal View, which is the company that we are owned by.
I told you,
yeah, we're just trying to get ahead so you guys still have stuff to watch whilst we're not here.
That's what dedication, effort.
Dedication, that is, you know,
record breakers.
He was here till like midnight.
So I was doing bits, bro. There was, I didn't have anyone come up to me this time rapping to me.
Wow.
Mad. That's a shame.
Anyway, what have you been up to, big man?
Just work. Not really? Much. Oh, I had a surprise 30th for my brother.
Which you might
have seen. Was the thing last weekend that I couldn't talk about because it was going out and you didn't know what I was talking about.
Okay, that's what you were talking about because you went IG live, innit?
I knew that. Live. I knew that he. I knew that he watches the podcast, so I thought I didn't want to give it away. But we did go. We did go live on Instagram. Me and Savile. I wasn't too aware of it.
No, he wasn't.
No, but we had a good time. I'd had a few. I tell you what happened, right? I was actually at a good point. Like I'd had a nice amount of drink. I was merry and happy, and then. He's driving, so he weren't drinking, and he walks up. We had beer out of my garden. We had a beer pong thing set up. Sav walks up, just drops 3 balls into the cups in a row.
Nah, you were drunk. That's not how it happened.
I remember you did one at least.
So basically, what I did was
I'll turn it into him. Yeah, I'll probably still at triple vision.
So this is what happened. Your mate Luke, who's also known as Sav, right?
Well, his surname's Sav.
Sav, yeah. So he challenges me to beer pong.
Sav on right. Sav action.
So Sav it, a Savception. So basically.
What?
Yeah,
okay. Savception.
Mad. So anyway, he challenges me. Obviously, I can't because I'm driving. Mm-hmm. So then you said you'll drink.
I said I'll drink before Sav.
Yeah.
And then he lost all the ability to.
No, because basically what I did was I was like, this is going to be easy. So let's say the ping pong thing's over there. Mm. I'm looking at you. I'm like, simple, bang, got it straight in. So everyone was like, oh my day, he's going to be mental. Like, I didn't get a single one after that.
So. So then I had to deal with it, and actually fair play to me old man. My dad stepped up, said he saw saw me holding the last.
You were swaying,
and he looked, and he was like, I can't even do that.
Yeah,
so my dad stepped in,
swaying.
And he went, I don't know what that stuff is you're drinking. It's rum and lemonade. Nothing special, Dad. Just crack on.
Dave, haven't you also got a story about a time you played beer pong?
Yes.
Go on, then you're going to tell I would like to hear it. I don't know if I've heard this one before.
Yeah, but maybe no, that's another one.
That's the story that will not be told on a podcast.
Okay.
Definitely not being told on a podcast. No, not at this stage anyway.
How about when we get to 100,000 subscribers? It's a great story.
When we get to 100,000 subscribers, I will tell that story.
Yeah,
okay. Cool. Fine. Let's just say it ends up.
Don't.
No, don't give anything away.
Okay, now I'll just give you one. I'll give you one word hint. A one word hint to it. There was paramedics involved. That's all I'll give you. Yeah. But
do you not know it?
You must know it.
I've heard it.
What have you been up to this week?
What have I been up to over the weekend? Didn't do too much.
Did you go out on Friday?
Did I? Yeah, I went out on Friday.
Again.
Same crew, is it? FD crew.
It was. Yeah, it was actually such a joke. It's not
running theme.
Come and join FD. If you haven't got your own friends.
Yeah, it's a strong room. Strong room in Shoreditch was pretty funny for George Wright's 24th birthday.
Big up George Wright.
Legend. Then Saturday was not feeling very well. Put it lightly. I went to the Banksy exhibition in Central London.
Nice.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was decent.
Yeah. But I wasn't feeling particularly well. So I went home. And then, Monday saw Equalizer 2.
It's good. Any good?
Good.
Yeah? I've had mixed reviews about that.
Right, you missed out. You told me you had the shits.
Cheers, mate. brilliant. anyway, I did go to see Equalizer 2 on Monday. Not the best storyline or script, but I was thinking the other day, I think...
Oh,
this is going to be a big show.
Don't say anything about the Bourne films now.
After Bourne?
So in terms of action, I think it is my third favourite action sequences.
What's second then?
Second is John Wick. I think action sequences, brilliantly shot. First, obviously, Bourne. Nothing will ever beat Bourne. Nothing will ever beat that bathroom fight scene. Unbelievable bit of choreography.
With the Moroccan gear.
I'll say one thing to you. Have you ever seen The Raid?
That's a great movie.
The Raid.
It's up there.
So to be honest,
I think
The Raid challenges
Raid
your
1 and
there.
2.
No, I like The Raid, but
it's definitely in contention.
The reason that I like
and The Raid 2,
John Wick and The Equalizer and Bourne is that I think they're really gritty. Like they're real.
But raid like two is gritty, but it's not as. Yeah. As like the, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? It's still people flying off like flying 6 to 8 feet off a kick. Whereas Bourne is like punch you in the face. Like you feel like you're feeling the punches of the geezer in the bathroom. When he's like strangling, you feel like you're killing him.
He's sitting there watching it going, yeah.
There's a bit, right? And I'll never forget this, where I believe, if I'm recording this correctly, in the raid where the fella essentially RKOs the geezer onto the frame of the door and his neck falls onto the thing and then he drags his neck along the frame
I
of the door. Remember that one?
I think, yeah.
That scene was nuts.
I can't really remember
There's
that
some
scene.
The raid is a quality film.
Amazing film. The first one is like one of the best action films I've ever seen. The second one's good as well, but the first one's
definitely up
next level.
I think when you talk about The Equalizer though, I've always seen The Equalizer, like the first one, and what I would expect when I go to watch the second one is just basically an excuse for Denzel to go full Denzel.
Yeah, it
like
is.
He doesn't need a story.
It is.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're just watching him be but one of the coolest men on the planet.
That's what I think the action sequences is part of the reason I think they're so good. Because Denzel is what, 60?
He's not young, he's like mid-50s.
Mid-50s, 60, and the action sequences are still a madness. The fight on the train on the way to Turkey in Equalizer 2 is unbelievable.
Yeah, but I would also argue that movie doesn't get made unless Denzel's attached.
Doesn't make a difference. There's still the direction and the choreography is so good.
But what I'm saying, I think...
No, but what I'm saying...
In Taken 3, when the geezer jumps over a fence and it's a 21-shot sequence, getting jumping over it, you can tell Liam Neeson's 60.
Don't slag off Liam Neeson, that's my dad.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's
yeah, but he's just so good at writing this, isn't he? So that's probably why he got the job in the first place.
But yeah, I actually quite enjoyed it. But that was my week anyway. Who's got the first story?
My man.
Do you want me to go first?
You're on, David.
So,
where's the source?
The source is All-Time 10s.
Yes.
Which is a popular YouTube channel, 5.4 million subscribers. Basically, I was watching one of the videos last night. It was 10 ridiculous last meals, so i.e. people on death row and what they've kind of had. So the sum is people have just had basically a jelly bean, which is mental. That's your last
just
meal.
Just the jelly bean?
Just one jelly bean.
Yeah, but
they're
all freaks on death row, aren't they?
Well, exactly. One was like...
I shouldn't say stuff like that.
Imagine picking something just so you appear in a list.
Well,
do you know what I mean? I love a jelly bean.
I love a jelly
legacy,
bean.
I'm on my
Why
way out, but I might
be
on YouTube.
On
I love a jelly bean.
So I was just kind of thinking, what would my... If I was on death row...
Last night, he just sat there going, what would my...
Before we get into that, what would you be on death row for? Like, what would be the crime?
Well, it has to be at least, like, murder, doesn't it?
Who would you murder?
I think...
A list, like,
it would be a list, isn't it?
Mass.
No, let me tell you.
On a rough day going for everyone.
No, but forget what would you be on death row for. If you were going to go to prison, why do you think you'd end up in prison? I would go reckless endangerment for me.
I think mine would be kind of like rage, as in like
rage,
rage.
No, but is in like something happened and it's like your kind of like instinct.
It's like
Dan saying.
Rather than, I know what you mean.
Okay,
yeah,
you thought about it. I'm going to go and rob a bank. Oh, yeah. I'm going to do the credit card fraud.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you on a 7-a-side pitch. Actually, I've seen Dave when the red mist descends, and it's not pretty sight.
I've seen
it
in a club.
I think we've already told that story.
Yeah, we might.
Go on then. What would you go to prison for, Savile?
Probably murder.
For murder?
Yeah.
His wasn't what would you be on death row for. His is just, yours could be GBI.
In
your mind, if you've done a bit, you might as well go full pelt.
Yeah, like I would, if I was going to go to prison for a petty crime and have something on my record for the rest of my life.
Might as well kill someone.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that's got gone
that
to prison?
I would want to kill? What, that's been to prison?
Or has like,
that was not what you were asking. That I want to kill? Yeah, I've got a list.
Nah,
do I know anyone that's been to prison?
Or got a criminal charge?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, but any comedy stories for it?
Not really.
From prison. I know plenty of people that have been inside. But, one of my family member of mine, when he was inside, he was sitting down for a period of time. Like, I think he got sentenced to life, but...
sentenced to life?
Yeah.
What the fuck did he do?
Yeah, madness. But basically...
He's not talking about what he did.
Yeah,
no,
so when he was inside, he did a degree in psychology.
Thank you.
He did, I believe, 3 A-levels. And he also did like a mentoring course for like some of the younger people that were in the prison. And by the time he left...
Oh, well, you were sentenced to life, were they?
Yeah, but life can mean 25 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And also, he only did half of it, okay. Which is weird as well. But yeah, cool, whatever. So, by the time he'd finished his time, the people in the prison were saying to him, like, we need you to stay, because without you here, it's going to be madness trying to control these youths. And that's like that's how much
respect
they had for him when he was inside.
That's a good news story.
Yeah.
So news story.
That is a good news. Russell Howard's good news has turned up.
Shout out my man, innit? I won't name him.
How have we got onto this anyway, from Last Road Meals?
What would be your last meal then? Come on.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm thinking, do you get three courses?
Yeah, you
I think
can.
You can literally have what you want.
You have
it's
what
your
you
last
want.
Meal.
I think
it's
you can't have what you want.
You can't have what you want. You can have what you
I
want.
I think a fella ordered like a seven-course gourmet meal, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
You can last meal.
I don't think they should. James
be allowed. Right now,
I don't think they should. I don't think they should be allowed what they want. They should be. They can have like one item of their choice, but goodness sake,
one item of their choice.
I just killed 25 kids. Okay. What do you want, mate? 15 gourmet burgers. Lovely.
All right, it's 15 in now.
Lovely.
Okay, what would yours be if you were allowed to have anything?
Anything in the world.
What's wrong with this guy?
Now, I think it was...
set restrictions for yourself.
Mine
you
would be
one thing.
A prawn...
I know what he's going to say.
Chicken or lamb vindaloo
there you go.
From Goa.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Oh, you had one out then?
When
you?
I was in Goa, let me tell you, it's different gravy.
Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah? My God. The vindaloos. We're used to in England. I don't know where you're watching this. If you have vindaloos or whatever.
If you have vindaloos.
Well, I don't know. Do Americans eat vindaloos and stuff?
I don't know.
Why don't you just say curry?
So
curry.
Yeah, but it's not because in England, a vindaloo means the spiciest curry on the menu, pretty much, other than a phal or a tinderloo, which is off menu orders anyway.
Yeah.
So you're likely only going to see a vindaloo on the menu, which you'll have the three chilies next. It'll be extremely hot in Goa. A vindaloo can be any temperature. It could be the same heat as a korma.
Hmm.
But the flavours are a madness. So
it's
I'd
actually
have,
built around a recipe.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have maybe a fish vindaloo flown over from Goa. There you go. How about right? that?
Nice. Why don't we just say you're in Goa in prison? Because that way
well,
you're
be
going to be being flown over and yeah.
Oh,
it'd be in an absolute state by the time
I've got
it.
Another prison story for you after. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, so I'd go... probably chicken or fish vindaloo
nice.
From Goa, flown over, transport, and then after, I would be thinking maybe... Chloe makes a wicked lemon curd.
Lemon curd, yeah?
Yeah.
That is the best thing
you've
said.
Do you mean
you said
lemon curd? Do you mean like...
like a lemon cheesecake kind of thing.
Lovely.
You're having a really good podcast today.
Like a little lemon cheesecake kind of thing. Yes, yeah, so a vibe.
I like that.
Decent.
That's very nice. And then what would you have, Hornet? One of me dad's apples off his stall. What would you have?
Yeah, one of me dad's apples.
One of me, yeah. Best out there, though, so. You know.
Yeah? Which one's Pink Ladies?
Nah, Jazz.
Jazz?
Go for a Jazz, yeah.
I like a Granny Smith.
If you want a green, go for a russet, mate.
Oh, that was you want a green?
Go for a russet.
Podcast chat, net 101. Put that in the hit highlights at the beginning.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. Coming up. Do you know what? I think if you can have anything, you'd sort of have like a selection of stuff, wouldn't you? Like a few different things.
Nah.
So I'd have.
I don't want to be mixing roast dinner with vindaloo, man.
No. Yeah, but not saying that much. But like, I'm trying to think of like the best things I've ever eaten.
Go on then.
I don't know.
It's a long list, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
Surely, like some of the stuff.
Some of the stuff in America would be in this.
I was just about to say that. Some of the stuff you had in America.
Like barbecue stuff.
Like a cheesesteak from Philly. It's not the best thing ever, but it's up there. Or then like. Barbecue from Texas, like fried chicken from the deep south, stuff like that. That's
what was the best food you ate in America? What was your weirdest experience in America?
Weirdest experience? Probably getting spending entire day in embassies. No, weirdest experience. Okay, so winning loads of money in Vegas is kind of surreal.
Yeah.
Not loads of money, but like we won I think like $1,500 up or something.
Madness. Shout out Mills.
And getting passports nicked and having to deal with that. Like, when you're literally across the
door. Why would they nick your passports?
So I went, it's weird actually. So, in terms of like a story with it, this isn't really about food, but just in terms of a story from when I was in America, we hadn't ever planned to go to, we did like a drive, we drove most of it, hadn't planned to go to Baltimore at all. We were supposed to go from Philadelphia to DC, but we were supposed to have like 6 days in DC. And when we were looking before going, my ex said to me that like DC was, it was like 3 days of stuff to do there. It wasn't worth us doing six. So she said, why don't we go Baltimore? And I was like, I've seen The Wire, I'm not doing that. So we ended up going there. We ended up going Baltimore, but we like rented a car, drove down. Oh, it's weird though. It was a real weird experience actually this whole night. So we get to an Airbnb where we're staying.
Oh, you've told me this story. This is a madness.
So it's just like a lockbox outside the house with a key.
Yeah.
And it's in proper, like when we pull up where the car is,
the project.
This looks like The Wire. Like it looks like the corners.
Yeah, that's bad. Mad.
So like, I get out, I'm like, she goes, oh, should we get all the bags? I was like, leave everything in the car. Like, don't, I'm not walking out with stuff on me so they know what we've got. So walk around, get the key out of this thing, open this door, and it's like an old American house, kind of house that you'd see in like a horror film or something. But no one's in there. Like it's ours for the couple of nights we're staying. So we go in, just pitch black, everything in there. So I like, it's one of those things where obviously you got your bird with you, so you've got to go ahead.
Oh but no!
Like you literally your ass is dropping. So I'm like walking in, going, yeah, I'll go, like go for it, but shitting myself.
Yeah.
Going, turn the lights on. It's like this like very American weird family house. Feels a bit creepy, but you can hear this like ticking. I was like, that's weird. So I like go around, walk into this room, and I turn the light on, and every wall, it's like a front room, like a living room. Every wall. It's covered in hundreds of clocks. Like,
that is
everywhere.
Oh, no.
All ticking, at, like, off at like, different, time, different
yeah.
points.
Oh, I think that would, like.
But, like, it's like a proper horror film room. Like, who has a room full of clocks?
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, like, she had more balls than me with anything like this. So, like, she comes in, she's like, oh, yeah, we'll just take the stuff upstairs. I'm like, sorry, are you not seeing the time zones
the clock
us? Like, look at what's going on. So, we go upstairs. And then it was like, look, let's just go out and get something to eat. It's like late, we'll leave it for later.
Yeah.
Go out. We bring our bags in. We left our big rucksacks in the boot. So we drive into like the financial district of Baltimore, which is like quite a nice, well-to-do kind of area. It's like the business section.
Yeah.
Pull up there. We went to go and eat somewhere. And then as we come back, it was one of those things where we turn the road to where the car is. And the second we turn the road, you just look at the car and it looks, I was like, something ain't right there.
Yeah.
As I walk up, the back window smashed in. But I couldn't remember like what was there because everything else was in the boot. So first thing I did was I checked the boot. All the bags are there, the big stuff. But then we remembered that there's one like airport carry-on bag that we didn't even know was there. It was underneath one of the front seats. We forgot it was there. And all it had in it was all of her makeup and both of our passports.
Oh, but the makeup's arguably worse.
Because now I couldn't, do myself up.
I know. Chloe would have killed me.
I knew that was bad because later on in the trip, when we was in Vegas, she said to me, oh, I need to go and get some makeup stuff to like replace it. So she went into the shopping thing. I went into Mac to do it. And I knew it was bad because I went, oh, I'll walk off and do whatever for an hour. And when I come back, she was hugging the girl that served her. This has probably cost a fortune.
Yeah.
walked up and it turned out like...
Did you report it to the police?
Yeah, reported it to the police. Police came down. They were wicked, but it's one of those things where the problem was we had a police report number and the report number says, oh, smash the back window because... don't. I know what you thought. I know exactly what you thought. I thought it as I said it. underneath the chair was a bag. That's on the report. So the insurance wouldn't pay us out anything because in the small print, it was like, if anything is left on show, then... But the thing was, is before we knew the insurance wouldn't pay us out, we had to... We was like, the policeman said to us, he's like, your insurance will cover all of this for you. He said, so we told him where we were staying. He was like, that's a proper rough area. You shouldn't be staying there. He said, especially with a car that now doesn't have a back window. He said, so, like, go stay in a hotel and your insurance will cover you for the 3 nights you're in thingy. So we have 3 nights in Baltimore, staying in a hotel, which was end up, because we had to book it on the night, so it was a lot of money for the hotel as well. Had to go and pay to cancel our passports, get emergency passports to cover us for our internal flights in America, and then also we were going to the Caribbean afterwards, and you can't go to the same country twice on an emergency passport. And we went to St. Lucia for the first 2 days, and when we flew home to the UK from Grenada, we stopped in St. Lucia to change flights. Didn't know at the time. Didn't even once get our passport checked in that stopover. So they wouldn't have known we'd gone to the same country twice at all. But because you have to prepare for it, it also meant that we had to buy our real passports again. and get them FedEx shipped to Miami, which is our last America. Like, it cost a fortune. So then when we had that, and then when we got to Vegas, started playing craps and winning money, and because we obviously needed it, because we'd lost so much money on this, we was like, this is basically work now, we might as well just keep working. So we just kept winning at craps.
Mad.
And absolutely killed it.
Because the one time I went to a casino with you, do you remember that? The one time I went to a casino with you?
You had a...
I could have killed him. It was his birthday. I could have killed him.
Yeah, we went Market Bar a couple of years ago for my birthday. It might have even been last year. I think it was last year.
Yeah, I think it might have been. And then we went
Me and Chris Hammer went casino.
And we go in and...
You'd never played roulette.
Well, I've played on the machines, but not real life roulette.
This was bad.
And I went red 18. 18's my lucky
number. No. You said to me, what do I do?
I said, put your money on the table and he'll give you chips. Yeah. Anyway, so I went, I've got to put all my money on red 18. Got to put all my money on red 18. Paul Scholes' number, red Man United. It's got to go on red 18. So I went to put it down, didn't I? But he'd already called bet.
Yes, and he'd already spun the thing.
So I went to put £20 down, but he'd already put the ball in play. Landed on red 18.
Red 18 coming. But he didn't realise. He turned to me and went, what do I win? And I went, mate, and the guy went, you didn't get the bet on.
And his 20's just laying on the table.
And I was like, oh,
red
18.
What's the roulette odds?
The odds? It's like 32-1 or something, isn't it?
So what would you have won?
Like 600 quid, something like that.
That's mad.
And I was in the post process of putting it down because I didn't understand it had to have been on the table pre ball roll.
Yeah.
What were the odds?
37 to 1.
So I'd have won.
Oh, but they'll pay 35 to 1. So let's try.
I'd have won 700 quid.
Oof.
And it didn't come in because I didn't quite get it down. I blame him entirely.
So we left. I blame you entirely for that. Why?
Because you were like, you were fannying around telling me.
I walked straight to the table. I did not. You walked straight up. We did it as quick as you could. He'd rolled it.
I could have killed him in that moment. £700 that was wasted. But anyway, what's your final meal?
Yeah, how do we get from there?
I don't know.
You went off and talked for
Philadelphia
about
cheese or something.
Yeah. You said cheese steak, one of them. But do you know what? If I'm honest, I'd probably go for something your mum had made.
But you can't have that. You can't. There's no way they're letting the mums bring in meals.
It's not happening, is it?
Okay, so I don't know.
My mum will knock up a steak pie or something.
A steak pie.
A chicken elite pie. She kills one of them.
Chicken, go on then, Savile.
Just keep it short and sweet.
Yours is off that stall that you get every day.
Yeah, the jerk chicken one. Yeah, that's what I'd get.
Well, you have it every day for lunch.
I didn't have it today.
You did.
I didn't.
Did you know?
You did.
Well, you've had it like yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
No, it's close to payday, which means Sainsbury's mobile.
I had a Peruvian today.
Ooh, it's really good, isn't it? I think it's good.
Mad. And plus, you give me a bit extra in it, so that's me.
Yeah. Of course she does.
You get me, so it's different.
Five guys.
Go on then, what's it
going to
be?
Five guys.
I don't know, something Keena would cook up. You know, she does good stuff. A bit of planting, you know, a bit of jet chicken.
Yeah, so long as no one's eaten it before, eh?
Oh, mate. Let's not talk about that one there. That's a touchy subject. So I've got a housemate, right?
Yeah.
And he's not even white. He's like, he's got something in him. His name's Yusuf something or other. But basically, he grew up in Shropshire, has no clue about what a banana is and about what a plantain is. So this fella ate a whole plantain thinking it was a banana.
Oh, no.
And it was obviously Keena's plantain. So she's messaged in the group saying, I don't know which one of you's eating my planting. And then this guy goes, oh yeah, I thought it was a banana. Mad. But you're not supposed to eat it raw. Like, it's really bad for your belly. So this guy's just chowing down on a planting.
Like, it tastes proper different to banana.
So eating the whole thing.
So to eat through the whole thing is mental.
What does it taste like?
Well, it's supposed to be cooked for once.
But he messages, goes, yeah, I thought it tasted a bit funny. Big Ben, what are you doing? Anyway, yeah,
Fair play to him for powering fruit.
So you go for Keena's planting.
Yeah, that's what I would go for. Jackson. Well, not that, just the planting, like the whole fruit, isn't it? Just planting.
I think I'll probably go ribs. I absolutely love
yeah,
ribs.
Bodine.
You stupid man.
Those going Bodine.
Like baby back ribs.
You go ribs.
Was it my decision or was it yours?
Oh my god.
You're about some curry that you got cooked. Shut up.
You're getting like flown over from Goa.
Yeah.
That's going to be cold as fuck.
In fact, he talked 20 minutes about what fucking Vindaloo was. Like, hey, well, those are Vindaloo is.
Do they?
Not a Goa one, apparently.
Not a Goa.
Let us know in the comments if you know what Vindaloo is.
I don't know whether the Americans have Vindaloo.
They should learn.
My great uncle went out with a princess from Goa.
Yeah, you told me this.
Yeah, my great uncle Rex.
What a name, isn't it? Rex. Went out for with a princess from Goa.
Goa is like massively controlled by the Russian mafia.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're over the moon.
Oh,
Rex.
He's got actually no. He's got no evidence for this.
I have.
Which, yeah. what's your
when I went to Goa,
yeah, there was three Russian people.
There's a massive Russian population in Goa.
Okay.
There's a massive Russian population in Goa where they've come in, moved in, and there is a really big
they've come over here.
Trance music scene.
Russians have brought trance to Goa.
They didn't bring trance to Goa. I never said that.
What has trance got to do with the Russian mafia?
No, it's just funny it's the way you said it.
It's what, right, so this trance.
It's one of the biggest
trance music is one of the biggest like things in Goa.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like,
okay.
It's like you walk into every shop and it's
trance.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, big time.
The Russians have obviously exploited that because they've moved in and they just sell mad quantities of drugs. At the trance.
What's this got? Oh, at the beach. I didn't know where the link
they
was.
They have
to the
loads
trance.
Of beach.
Yeah, but that's like the lower tier, isn't it?
Like
you're saying, 100%.
I'm not imagining Vladimir Putin's moving over there and dealing himself. It's obviously the
not
low
dealing
level.
Himself.
The trance. But big Vlad.
It's honestly a nightmare out there. It's a nightmare. It's
like
all of the Goans that I spoke to when I was out there were all saying, yeah, it's a massive problem.
One fella. One fella.
It was a fellow surgeon of Indaloo. He went, I've got a massive problem.
Apparently they're so rude. They're so rude.
The Russians then?
This is a real Vindaloo.
Because
tell you about the Russians over here.
I was surfing on one day with one of the with one of the blokes, and he said that not that he gets abused by them, but like they'll come up and just like intimidate his shop all the time.
Was he in the distance on another surfboard?
He was leaving, bro. He was leaving.
He was shouting.
He was getting
to
out
you.
Of the area. It's not what, honestly. What, it's
that
nice.
Was that's why he was surfing out.
Yeah, he just never came
he
back.
He's leaving. He kept going.
But yeah, it's a problem.
So before we leave the prison for
yeah,
I've got to tell
you story.
One final story. So my uncle Tony he's a legend, absolute legend. He's about 70 now, but when he was young, he was so, in Joe's word, rogue. He's one of them proper wrong'uns, isn't it?
Yeah.
But basically, this was when he was about 17. He grew up in Barbados. And he was sent into the Navy by his parents. So he's in the Navy with 5 or 6 of his cousins as well.
Yeah.
So they stop somewhere in, I think it was Sweden. They stopped it. They'd been at sea for so long. I don't condone prostitution, but they went to a brothel, right? And he was told to wait outside, innit? He's 17, he's mad young. All of his cousins are like, we're going upstairs, you wait outside. So he's waiting outside on his own. He's, for his age at the time, he was really big. Like at 17, he was a big guy. He's still big now. He's 70, but he's still taller than me. So he's waiting outside. These three Swedish blokes are walking along, start like racially slurring, like shouting racial slurs at him, punches them all up. But there's Swedish blokes coming out of the brothel as well, so they start getting involved, start beating up my uncle. So his cousins come downstairs, get into a massive brawl. Swedish police come along, scoop them all up. No, sorry. This is what it was. So they're in Sweden, but it was Swedish blokes, and they were in Colombia.
Okay.
Right. So they then get sent to a Colombian prison.
Yeah.
They were there for about a week before they got word from their captain. The captain says to them, "You lot have effed up big time. I could come and get you now, but I'm going to leave you in there for a month because this is your don't. Why are you going brothels? You was docking here for like a week. You know what I'm saying? And now you've messed up." So they were in there for a month, and he said that in the Colombian prisons, it was so cold that at night, he was the youngest there, his cousins had to sleep on top of him to make sure that he didn't die, because he was getting like pneumonia and stuff. And he was saying that they were in there with the Swedish blokes. So like the whole time, they're like getting all these like rubbish meals and stuff, and like these Swedish blokes like trying to take their food. It was mad stories. I'll try to get Uncle Tony on one of the podcasts soon, but he's mad.
Jesus, Colombian prison vibes. That's pretty mental.
Uncle Tony also punched up 5 blokes in Hackney, like when he was anyway. Go on.
I don't know the details on it, but there's in terms of rogue stories like that, you can't tell them. I can't tell any of them on a podcast about family stuff. But my dad had a run in a Spanish prison at some point.
Yeah?
I don't know the details on it, and I wouldn't want to get them wrong. So.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, there's some stories.
What's your story then?
I ain't got one. I told you this before we come in. I had one, which was, but we kind of, we summed up, there was a pretty quick turnaround on the answer to it anyway.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, there's a video going around across uni lads and all those kind of things of a supposedly a school where there's CCTV footage which shows a ghost overnight doing things like lockers are open and stuff
like this.
Now, my view, like, I'm not bringing this story up because I believe this particular incident, because if you watch it, everything that happens to me looks like the kind of thing that can be done with a pull of the rope.
Right.
Like, it's all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought, open it up.
You don't believe in thoughts on
ghosts or even just sort of paranormal. We've done aliens and things like that, but
yeah, the paranormal.
You know, the paranormal.
Absolute nonsense.
I feel there's more truth in the spiritual world than there is in the aliens.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Dave, man. That's really? A mental statement.
Well, I think the aliens is a load of bollocks.
Aliens 100% exist.
The fact that we exist
big for them not to.
But what if we don't exist, though? That's my point.
That's paranormal, isn't it?
Ghosts...
Yeah, go on.
...are utter rubbish. This is some Derek Acora nonsense.
No, there's Derek Acora, and then there's, like, things where people have had something happen to just them, and they don't, like, they go running around talking about it. But, like, I know for a fact that, say, for, like... Not for a fact, obviously. But, like... There's people in my family, like my aunt for one, who has had numerous sort of things happen at too convenient a time when she's literally asked, like from her mum or dad or whatever who passed away, like thought something had happened and would physically be like, okay, if what I'm thinking's right, do something, and something that would not happen will occur, like a random thing. I've always said that I'm not one way or the other when it comes to the spiritual stuff.
Yeah, a few of my family members have said they've seen ghosts and stuff, but I just think it's a nonsense. I think they're just seeing what they want to see.
I don't think it's like it's not like someone in like a bedsheet. It's like a spirit. It's a
being.
Yeah, it's a being.
But I feel like that is just your mind's manifestation of something you want so much that you truly believe it's there.
See, I see your point. Now, there's things I've read online and know people personally who've come to me and said that they've seen things that shouldn't have been there, but were also there once upon a time. So, like, for example, my mum saw, I can't remember where she was, it was Baker Street, or it was like near central London, but not like central. Here we go. She spent time in mental hospital because they thought that she was when she was saying that she was seeing these things, they thought she was going mental. But basically, she saw a windmill in the middle of the road and stopped her car, right? Because there was a windmill there, and she could see it as physically as I'm seeing you now. And she herself was like, "I'm going mental. Like, what's happening to me?" And then did her research, and where she saw the windmill. There used to be a windmill there, right? But she didn't obviously know that. But
that's pretty mad.
So
hard then, to explain. That's really hard to explain stuff like that.
Yeah,
but yeah. I can't explain.
So
stuff
like that. With things like that, it's like, is that me personally? This is my theory now. I think there's a collective human consciousness that we all tap into.
Yeah, I get that.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that we can still have the remnants of older generations, like. Feelings, if that makes sense. So let's say one of her ancestors or somebody that she might have known in a previous life or whatever, yeah, like maybe she's still connected to that person and they saw the windmill and then she saw the
it sounds weird when you first say it, but I don't quite know if these are the right words to explain it. I think there's an energy to a planet. Do you know what I mean? Like, as a whole, there's just, with everything that's gone on, I'm not saying that things like there's literally a fucking thing that exists. But I'm saying that, like, you can, you know, it's like those things where you walk into a place and you get a feeling. Do you know what I mean?
Like, places make and you, things have memories. Have you heard that theory before?
Stuff
so,
like
you
that.
See when you go to, like, a mental asylum, right? You walk in, and whether you knew that it was a mental asylum
to me,
or not.
That's because you're
programmed.
No, but this
is the thing. Even if you don't know that it's a mental asylum or not, and you walk in,
yeah.
you would still have a weird feeling. Like,
the thing I've said about the windmill is that his mum did not know that existed there
before.
Yeah,
I get that, and I can't explain that. Maybe.
I get what you're saying about your mind wanting to see it.
I think it's your mind wanting something.
Yeah, I get them ones. I once was in the car with my dad going around, he was looking for a car that was leaving a car park. And as we're coming out, I just look at this old woman on the side And as you're saying, as clear as I'm looking at yous now, my nan was just staring at me. Mm. And she's like passed away years before this.
Yeah.
But like clear as anything standing there. And even as a young kid, I must have only been probably like 10, 12. But for me even to get to like to get to the point where I turned to my dad and said, you need to turn the car around. And he did. And we drove round a loop. When we come back, there was an old woman there, but not one thing about her looked anything like my nan.
Yeah.
But I'd made it that in my head to begin with that she was there.
Yeah.
I just like your thing that you said on it. I think it was on here or maybe on like something else where you said you were coming out of the shower or something and then you caught a glimpse of something.
A glimpse of something in like a glass reflection.
But some people would make that run.
And then they see a shadow move and then their conscious mind in the background is going, oh, you saw a shadow. Oh, it looked like something. And then when you remember that back, you remember your conscious mind's efforts at trying to work that out. That's where I see it being like you probably remember that being like that. But then I wonder if like your 10-year-old self remembers it the same way as your 30-year-old self.
I've made her. I made her clearer to me what I believe than she actually was. Possibly. But that's what I'm saying. You're right in your respect with my story there.
Yeah.
But there's other ones like Sav's one, which is just like
I can't remember the exacts of this, but this one was the one where I started like looking at my mum like, rah, like, is this really what it is? She called my nan. My nan used to live in Kent, like deep Kent, like near Deal, Warmer, that way.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I know, yeah.
So
I used to take my caravan.
Yeah. So she used to live down there. She was with, this is my mum now, she was with her boyfriend at the time, driving down a country lane, and they'd...
It was a windmill.
Yeah, there's a windmill.
She keeps seeing windmills everywhere.
So she's diving down a country lane, and there was a crash, right? A car crash. And this is like, for me, one of the weirdest stories, and I've even said to my mum, how do you explain that? And she said, to this day, I don't know what to think of it.
Mm.
So there's a car overturned, right? Not smoking, not leaking, not on fire, anything. Walks over to the car. No one in it. It's just overturned, and they're both like, that's like the weirdest thing ever. We're driving down the country and there's a car overturned. It's obviously a recent crash. Debris everywhere. Cool. Get back in the car. Maybe they've sorted it out already. Get back in the car. Drive off. She calls my nan to say, anything in the papers about like a car crash or anything like that, like happened recently? Nan's like, nah, nothing. Like, haven't heard anything about it. Cool. A week later, she gets a call from my grandma saying, you remember that car crash that you were talking about? I said, yeah, on so and so lane. Yeah, it's just happened now.
Oh, and there's a car overturned.
There's a car overturned. The woman's died. Like,
that's mental.
And she split up with her boyfriend because her boyfriend was like, it went into denial about this.
I remember you told me something about this before.
And she was like, he just wouldn't accept that he saw it with his own eyes.
Yeah.
And that that's in exactly the same place.
Yeah.
Like, it's mad. Things like that make my head spin. I can't explain it. I'm not calling my mum a liar.
I'll say one other thing on this because she'll be annoyed if I don't, if we're talking about this topic. But my mum does have one weird thing, which is consistent, and it's not like a seeing a thing, but she said that when she was growing up, my mum's mum and dad, all my grandparents have passed away, but my mum's mum and dad, when she was a kid, she said that she's got, that my mum's family's, there's loads of sisters, but if any of them ever lost anything, and they couldn't find it anywhere, she said her dad just had this ability that as soon as he started looking, he'd find it in a second. So my whole life, my mum, any of us in the family, we lose something. We can be looking for weeks for it, 2 weeks, whatever. You can't find anything in the house.
Mm.
Every single time, she just asks him, and it's literally within half hour, pops up. And she went, and it'll be, stuff has appeared in places where, like, I've gone and looked in a cupboard and I've searched that whole cupboard.
Yeah.
And I don't mean go back half an hour later and it's under there. Mm. I go back, I pull it and a passport's sitting there. Right. And it's like, that's mental. Yeah, and there's obviously, that's like not spirits or anything, but it's just, there's weird things. Mm. It's like, what's happening there? Well, how's that actually coming to?
Yeah.
That's pretty mad. Should we go on to the next story then?
Let's do it. What is the next story?
It's me or you, so I'll go. Mine is I saw a thing earlier about Ricardison, the footballer, meeting a young lad in the stadium after he scored his goal. And it's like a viral video. It's done like 1.5 million views.
Yeah, that broke Everton his arm, posted.
It's not there one way broke his arm. It's actually two stories, Ricardison, the same
He's
day.
A legend.
He obviously, in his first game, so a week ago now, he scored two against Wolves. One lad broke his elbow in the stadium and he met him, signed his cast. And then after the game, he gave his shirt to like a 6-7-year-old lad and the 7-year-old lad's face was like amazing. So I wanted to know, like, what's everybody's best celebrity story? Like, who have you met that's been an idiot or been a legend or been a bit weird?
Do you want to start?
Well, yeah, go on.
Thierry Henry. It was like, when I did that video on Football Daily, it was like, if I would have told the 12-year-old Dave that I was going to be working, like genuinely working with Thierry Henry.
Sitting on a quiz team.
To the fact that he put his arm around like that, I would have just, like, I would have gone, you're a liar, Dave. Yeah, you know what I mean? It was like, it was a proper, like, this is the most surreal thing I've ever happened in my life.
Out of body experience.
It was ridiculous.
You showed him your phone as well, didn't you?
Well, that was like a different one, wasn't it? That was when I met him with like a previous time.
Was that
it?
was when you met him when we went to the Entourage premiere. Yeah.
And that time was mental as well. So, like it was, I think it's like a week later where me and you had gone to the West Brom game, and him and Jamie Redick come down. And he'd come down and he went, "How's it going?" I was like, "This is mental."
He knew you were.
Yeah, like this is mental.
I remember finding that weird at Sky Sports, Dave. Me and you were upstairs in the bar bit, and I've obviously never like properly met Thierry Henry. I think I met him that day. But he came in and he walked past you and he went, "You're right, Joe." And you hadn't said hello to him. And you went, "Oh, yeah, you're right, Thierry." And he tried to like play off as like, he turned and looked at me and was like, he just said hello to me. That's mental.
Yeah, man.
I realised mine as soon as you were saying that. Do yours first because.
Savile? What about when you was on like BT and that?
That's the thing. Like, I met loads of
what?
That's not what he ended towards. Yeah. That we were talking about before we started filming.
What are you talking about?
When he was on BT. Right.
Well, yeah, there's that story. But
go on, quickly tell that story.
I walked into Neil Warnock doing this shit.
That's such a great you met him on Famous? Yeah, I walked in on Neil Warnock having a shit once. Yeah,
so man. is there any other celebrities or footballers anyone's ever seen in the toilet?
You haven't seen David Silva's cock?
I've seen David Silva's penis.
That's not on Amazon's All or Nothing.
No.
Yeah. No, he's a nice man.
Was it All or Nothing?
It was all.
Yeah,
yeah, it was all.
Very small, man.
He's a legend as
well,
David.
Yeah,
it sounds like it.
Martin
O'Neill,
man.
Did you have more?
Yeah, so basically...
twice in one podcast.
What, Martin O'Neill?
Yeah.
What? He came up early... Oh, so it was... just giving away, isn't it?
Well done.
Feed it.
So, yeah, I've worked at BT before. A lot of you probably know because I say it all the time. But of people who I've met, like we talk about childhood heroes, Ian Wright... was the reason I supported Arsenal.
The same
as a kid.
With me. The same as
he's a nice guy or not?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Really?
Like, when I met him, that's probably the one person I've been, like, properly nervous to meet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone else who was there, like, I've met, like, Joey Barton. Yeah, he's Joey Barton. David Ginola. I can't stand him.
Really?
Yeah, I can't stand
him. Why? What happened with David?
Bro, like... So it was my first or second day, and at that time I wasn't even working there yet. I was only there on a work experience. And I was there on work experience as a runner. So before each show, they'd get an order in for what it was that they wanted to eat during halftime, or just as during the first half. So we got in the orders, and there was a fellow there called Joe, who was also running with me, said, "Cool, we need this, 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 and this." So I went and got it, everything on the order. So it turns out Joe had messed up the orders and didn't get David Ginola's food, which was like some sashimi thing from wherever. So he's like running around like somebody had killed his daughter or something, saying, "I can't believe nobody's brought me my sashimi." It's like, big man, like, come on, it's sashimi.
Just chill.
Like, go
yeah,
kick,
just relax.
Yeah, real talk. Like, come on. Anyway, he was whatever. I tell you who's really nice, Owen Hargreaves.
Yeah.
Lovely fella. Yeah, played a little ping pong with him.
That's quality. Did you beat him?
Nah, he's quality at ping pong. He's good at ping pong. Yeah. But there's loads of footballers I've met, but I'd say Ian Wright, for like people who's like a hero and you meet them and you're actually glad that they're a nice person. Met him on the day that we beat Hull City as well. In the FA Cup. So the whole day was just like, you know, when you look back and like, oh, that was
Ian Wright's one of those people that, say, even you two are Arsenal fans, but even if me as a kid, like, my brother supported Arsenal when we were growing up because obviously we grew up as Millwall fans.
Yeah.
You couldn't watch anything but Premier League on the TV. It was only matches of the day. So my brother, like, we were always Millwall fans, but my brother followed Arsenal for a bit and because of his mates and then because of him, I did as well. Like, I had Arsenal kits and stuff like that. But Ian Wright, again, was the reason for it. Mine, I will say, it's a footballer again, but it's in terms of, like, as a kid, could not have gone any better for me at all. So, obviously, I'm a Millwall fan, so I grew up with, like, Tim Cahill was my hero as a player, and he was so good for us as well. And through, like, friends of my uncles, we sorted out this bit for a little while where we had tickets to games that we could sit in the VIP bit, and then we'd go to the players' lounge bit afterwards. So, I'm seven, actually, because when we were talking the other week about breaking your arm, this is when I first broke my arm. So I go to a game, and Cahill's not playing because his leg was broke or something. He was out injured. He was on crutches, I remember that. And I've got my arm in a cast. So we go to... I've got an autograph book as well. I go to the players' lounge afterwards, and like this guy, a mate of my uncle's taking us around getting stuff signed. I go up to Tim Cahill, and obviously, really nice guy. Like, seriously, unbelievably nice guy, but... because I'm a kid and I've got my arm broke and he's injured as well, he starts asking me, like, oh, what's your name, whatever, and then asks me about what I've done and whatever. So I'm chatting to him for a bit. I'm like, can't believe it. I'm starstruck because I'm with Tim Cahill. Yeah. Signs my thing, gives it to me, go away, I've had the best day ever. Goes, like, 6 months later. It wasn't short. It was a long time after. Go to another game, and I'm now fine, whatever, he's playing. Go to the players' lounge afterwards. Imagine this as, like, a seven-year-old kid as well. Go to the players' lounge. Tim Cahill was there, and my uncle says to me, his mate says to me, should we get Tim Cahill's autograph? And I was like, I've got it before, but yeah, I'll have it. I'll definitely have it again. He went, yeah, come on. So he brings me up, and I get to Tim Cahill, and he looks at me, and Tim Cahill stopped and went, it's Dave, isn't it?
And
me as a seven-year-old, I was like, what? How? He went, yeah, he went, how's, you broke your arm, didn't you? I went, yeah. And he was like, yeah, like, how are you doing,
whatever. Did your uncle tell him?
No. He genuinely, and I know it's other things where you're saying, like, oh, but I've had conversations with them as I got older about this, and they were like, they remember watching me and being like, that couldn't have gone any better. That's amazing. And although then, so that was incredible, made it at the top, and then probably like he shouldn't remember because it was a long time after, about 3 or 4 years later, me, mum, me, dad, me, brother having a Chinese in a Chinese restaurant down the end of my road, and as we walk in. We walk past the table where Tim Cahill and Danny Dicchio, two Millwall players, both sitting having a Chinese. So my dad just gets up. Me and Joe are like shitting ourselves, won't do anything. My dad goes, I sod that. So my dad just walks up and goes, can I bring my boys over? Because they want to... He didn't remember me that time. But he was still absolutely lovely.
Dave,
I'll buy you Chinese. I mean, that's what my dad was open for. But that time when he remembered it, quality. Unbelievable.
I've got one more before. I know you've got a really good one. So, when I was the same football match, right, where I met Ian.
Yeah.
Ian now.
First name.
Yeah. So, there was a bit just before the end of the match where they needed the rushes from one of the cameras behind the goals for the final highlights package. So, as the runner, I had to wait for him to give me the card and I had to literally sprint to the trucks for it to go out. But it was on the other side of Wembley, and the trucks in Wembley are like deep underground.
They're proper underground, aren't they?
You're at Wembley for the final?
Yeah.
They're proper underground as well, aren't they?
Yeah, proper underground.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So where I was, it was in view of the gantry. From when I was running, so I've got the card, and I was in good shape back then. So I've sprinted, and when I mean sprint, I was reaching lengths, you get me?
Yeah.
And so I've got the card into the trucks, and like, you're a G for that, like, whatever. And then at the end, after we'd all wrapped up, one of the production coordinators comes over to me and goes, you see when you was running earlier, I was standing next to Rio Ferdinand, that is. He goes, look at the legs on that guy.
That's quality.
He's a nice guy, though.
Yeah, he's cool.
I actually, although one interview I had with him, he was a bit off of me. Wasn't a good...
The one up the tower?
Up the BT Tower, yeah, man. That was not particularly good. I asked him, will there be a boy born that can swim faster than a shark? He just didn't get it, so it just wasn't on it.
The thing is, you're only going to get it if you've watched The Office.
Yeah, but so. Like his response was just like, that's a stupid question. And I was just like, oh my God, mad.
If you
good.
Ever meet him, will you say to him, you might not remember, you once complimented my legs?
No, I probably wouldn't say that. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
You got one?
Yeah, I've got...
Or was your Rio one that it?
Yeah, Rio was it. No, I've got one good one, but yeah, I've met some really celebrities that really surprised me with how nice they are.
Yeah.
And some that have surprised me, I thought they'd be nice and they've been a dick.
I've got one of them and I'm not going to say it.
I'm really also nice. Not going to say the dick one.
Jamie Redknapp's a really nice guy.
Jamie Redknapp, I was going to really say, up there with possibly the nicest.
Dick.
Robbie Savage also, legendary.
Oh, yeah. Robbie.
Yeah. Big pals. Robbie's cool. Yeah, another really one I met nice actually at BT.
Really nice guy. But yeah,
I was trying to join him there because he was trying to get... He went, yeah, he's a nice fella.
But he is, honestly, really nice guy. But... The weird one for me was Keanu Reeves. This was weird. Jackson was there as well with me, so he can tell it as well. But it was for John Wick 2, wasn't it? It was the second John Wick.
So we basically been invited for like a drink with Keanu Reeves. I see like a load of
and it was
Claridge's.
Where was it? It was at Claridge's. Claridge's, and we turned up to this drink,
which is a big fancy, one of the most fancy old school hotels.
The nicest hotel. Think of the nicest five stars in a city. Yeah, there was probably us and 10 other people in the room, and you're sat there, and it's like a meet. It's effectively kind of like a really intimate meet and greet where he comes over to you. He talks to you about what you do, and you have like a little five-minute chat. Really lovely guy. He is a bit bizarre.
But I think what needs to be said is like he's like working at this point. For him, this is like work, and like nobody else was giving him anything. Like he's trying to make the conversation, whereas
and everybody else was flat.
Yeah, they were just flat. Mm. So Joe Thomason steps up.
So yeah, I stepped up, and I don't know, man. Everything was a little bit
strange.
Strange, wasn't it? It was a little bit strange. I mean, Keanu, he's a lovely guy, and he was really trying. I have to make it clear,
he really was
trying. Like, other people were super bland, weren't they, with him? They were like, yeah, I work in photography. And
there'd
be like, there'd be no follow-up conversation. Yeah. So we was actually having a talk, and we was like...
Because that was it, right? He was, you were saying what you do, you say you run a big football channel, we said, oh, football. And we were starting talking about the... Europa League.
Yeah, he was like... Yeah.
No,
yeah.
What did you say to him? Because didn't you ask him that it was ridiculous?
We were working a football thing, and he goes, yeah, man, I love the UEFA Premier League, or something like that. And we're just like, man, yeah, man, it's just so good. Like, just play on, because he's trying to be a nice guy.
He's trying,
actually trying. He's not being, like, fake or anything like that. Like, he's pretty well known. Like, Keanu Reeves is like a nice celebrity. Like, travels on the train, like, really normal guy, isn't all sort of like... top tier, don't speak to me, don't even look at me, which some celebrities can be like.
Didn't he do, wasn't that thing he did with The Matrix, where he gave half of his salary
I think it was on one of the sequels, he didn't take a salary.
No, well, it wasn't, it was, so basically, the CGI, I think it was for either the second or the third film, was made with his salary or something like that.
Yeah, like he
gave his money to these.
Point
is, he's a nice fellow.
Really lovely guy. And we were talking to him about John Wick, obviously, and he had trained for a long time for John Wick. He was on the way to becoming, I don't know whether it's a black belt in judo or he trained in judo to great lengths to be able to play the part. Because obviously, there's a lot of flips, a lot of turns. And we're talking to him about judo, and he starts doing this sort of. He starts kind of going
a bit weird,
and he's like going, whoa, if you're listening to this on the podcast app, he's basically like moving about the room, doing like karate moves in the air, going, whoa, John Wick, whoa, John Wick.
That? He kept saying John Wick, didn't he?
There's this bit he's missed out. So he's speaking to him about football, and he said, so pretty sure, Keanu's words were, I don't get to watch as much as I'd like. And Thomason goes... Yeah, it's a bit hard when you're dodging bullets. And he starts
that
going,
was
oh,
it.
Like, the Matrix.
I knew that was like, something you said. I couldn't remember what it
and
was.
I was like, and I'd look at him, and I'd go, what are you doing?
But no, you actually did that, the Matrix thing.
Yeah, he went, oh, I don't get much time. I'm too busy dodging bullets. I went, whoa. And then I did the Matrix thing as far back as I could go because I knew that Keanu would be
on it. And then the thing is that, you see, like, he's like kind of ready to hand it, looking at me, and I went, I didn't want to hear it.
And then he went off.
And then obviously, like, that must have brought him out of his shell
and he started talking about judo, and he was starting,
he was doing all his karate moves, and every time he did one, he went, Jamwick, dancing around. Jamwick, like this. It was really bizarre. But anyway, he's a lovely guy.
You two came back doing that into the office, and it meant that like everyone in the office for about a week was just walking about doing that.
Jamwick. But yeah, lovely guy, Keanu Reeves. And he's proper A-list as well, Keanu.
Yeah, top level.
He could be like a real dickhead if he wanted to. And I'm sure there are some proper
I'll tell you something about that as well. He actually stayed and watched a movie. Like normally when you go to a premiere or something, it's like they'll kind of come around the front, they'll give a little wave, and then it'll piss off to a hotel, you know, kind of thing. Whereas he stayed and watched a movie, which for me is like, it's a sign he's proud of kind what of what he's made.
But I still feel like I missed a trick there. I 100% in that room could have had a judo fight against Keanu Reeves.
100% you could have.
I'm not joking.
If I'd have a little wrestle,
Keanu would have been bang on it and he'd have kicked the fuck out of me.
But he's a tall man, wasn't he? He wasn't a small fella.
Have you seen the clip from the junket of him and Winona Ryder from the last like week or
whatever? Yeah, man.
They're promoting like a new film. Yeah. But obviously they've worked together years ago in the past. And they're talking about it. I think the woman's asking him about like how was it when they first met years ago doing whatever. And Winona Ryder says something like, she gets a bit giddy and goes, I had this massive crush on him like way back then. And she goes, oh, what about you, to Keanu Reeves? And he goes, I had a huge crush on her as well. And the woman goes, how are those feelings now? And he just sort of sits back and goes, nah, still good for both of us. And just like hints that they could crack on if they wanted to. And then the woman's like, cool, okay. Doesn't know what to do. It wasn't the answer she was expecting.
He's cool, man. I like him. He's
and John Wick's a wicked film.
It is a good, really good film.
Great action. I think like number one is very good. Number two, not so much.
But it's one of those films where it's like,
I love
a quality film, like where it's in depth and you get engrossed in it. Yeah, amazing. I also like films where it's 2 hours where I don't need to be so focused. Yeah. It's just a good action film.
The Foreigner.
The actual Foreigner
with Jackie Chan and thingy.
The Foreigner is a quality example of that.
Have you seen that? Yeah, Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan. Quality film.
Shout out, Piers. That's one of my bridges as well.
Anyway, so, Sav, your story, we've got time for it?
So you just glance over it.
Glance over it, go on then.
So the one I wanted to bring to the table, apparently Post Malone had a near-death experience, as it were. Not near-death, but apparently he was up in a plane and there was something wrong with the plane, so they had to land it again. But in order to do that, they had to waste all the fuel for some reason before they came back down, right?
Okay.
I'm not sure why. But
the reason is because if it crash lands, you want the least amount of fuel.
Right, that's it. There you go. Makes sense. So they've done circles around the airport and then landed on the runway. But as he's in the air, people had got wind of what was happening, so filming it and everything. And there's loads of people saying, like, wishing death upon the geezer, basically. Saying, like, I want you to die. Like, I hope it crashes, blah, blah, all this stuff. Which is mental. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about how close each of you have been to a near-death experience or like a time where you're like, that could have been it for me or like something like that.
I've got two.
I got one when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And almost got hit by it. And honestly, it was this close. And you know when you taste metal?
Yeah. Yeah, because like, of the shock. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like, I think we were going to like a family dress party, like as a fancy dress party.
Everyone's going dressed as family.
Yeah.
Like we were, because we think we're dressed as like Adam's family. Like
right. Oh, yeah. You was Fester, innit?
I don't know who I was. Yeah, probably I was, actually. Yeah. And like, we're just so excited. I want to get to the party. So instead of waiting for like mum and dad hold hands across the road, I kind of run out. And it's like so close. Like if it hit me, that's it.
Yeah,
to the point. You're not going to be coming back.
Yeah, that's it.
So
I've got two, both of them also. But I was in the car both times.
Mine in the car.
So my first one was coming back from in Exeter in Devon. There's like a place where all the kind of teenagers and kids go, and it's like a cliff with river below it, and you can jump off it and stuff, and do mad stuff, and swing off it and things like that. And everybody goes and drinks and stuff. And we was coming back, and you have to go through proper country roads to get to
it.
Tight country roads, and we was coming back, and I've got a friend who is like a professional cyclist, And he bet us that he could cycle through the country roads quicker than we could drive.
Is this the mate that went pro eventually?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. George. And when I say, I don't know whether you guys have ever seen a professional like bike rider ride fast. Mm. It's insane, like round tight corners. He sets off and we set off and he is gunning probably, I don't even want to think how fast he was going. And he's proper tight. And in a car, going around country lanes, a bit wet, we'd all been drinking.
You also have to give yourself a lot of space because of like,
they're also ridiculously labelled as national speed limit.
Yeah, and
you can go 70.
Yeah, and we're going sort of 50, 60, and he is flying, George. So we go past him, we're overtaking whatever, and we've got, do you remember that song, I think it was, it's called like Brother by Avicii. Hey, brother.
This is so excellent. Yeah, man.
And that is on the stereo up to the maximum. And everybody in the car, because we've had quite a few beers, I don't know why, we had this like weird thing we've been doing all day where every song we're like, left arm up, and we're doing this, and like, doing this to every song. So it's like, hey, like everybody was doing it. And like, George is going out the song, we've got the windows wound up, we're like, fuck off. And the driver turns around, he's going, like this. Oh, no. And just as we come to a sharp left with a brick bridge going over the river, and it's tight, one lane, with George pelting down here. And as he turns back round, we must have been like 30 yards from the sharp left. His name's Jed, and he must have just panicked in the moment and just went whack with the thing as we're going like this. We skidded on the left-hand turn, and it was like something out of a horror film. You know where you come, and it's like that over the edge of the just pure like water below us, just like rock water. Definitely would have died in that situation going so fast. The second was I'd had a few beers.
So hold on, so by the sound, the driver actually did well.
He somehow saved it. I don't know how we did it. We got home in the end. Like, he was an awful driver. I remember overtaking someone, like, on a single thing with a lorry coming straight at us. We had to go back and down the thing. He was one of those sort of drivers. So we was in a car coming through drivers. Topsham. Me and one of my best friends, Josh.
Topsham, you say?
Topsham, which is, like, a small town. And I'd had a few beers, and whenever I got in Josh's car, I used to do this thing where I would be in the passenger seat, and do you know the panicker thing? So I do this thing, basically, where I'm like, panicker.
To try and make you panic.
And when I'm in a car, when I was younger, I was a bit of an idiot, and I'd had a few beers, and I was like, panicker, to Josh, and he was like, don't start in the car. So I was like, oh. And when somebody says, don't start it.
Yeah, you're like this.
So I've driven with you next to me in a car, and you are, he's a nightmare.
But this, I was, and like, when he's up a few for beers, it. And I was on it. You know, I started like, So I started doing this thing where, so I'm in the passenger, he's on my right-hand side. So I started pulling the steering wheel down.
Whoa,
like this, and he's going, still panicking. He's doing like 30, and I'm going, like this, getting on the steering wheel. So he goes.
Oh, so he can't drive.
So he goes to take a left round, sort of like a not a sharp left, but a mini roundabout left. That's I'd say like just off 90 degrees with a stone brick wall that runs curved around the edge of the.
This is your fault, by the way.
100% this one.
Like, this is blaming Joshua.
So we're going
100%
like,
this one, but the last one when he's giving it
like
this.
30, 40, something like that. So. And it was like, I'd had a few beers. He hadn't been drinking, but it was one of those ones that was quite tight on a mini roundabout. And we were just going to go straight around the corner. Like, just take it. Mm. And I was going, whoa, 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 like this. And then just as we hit the mini roundabout, I went, hey, whack, and hammered a hard left down as hard as I could. Just like this. I don't know what I was doing. Being an idiot. Like, panic, what? Like this.
Panic,
oh, that's what I would have said.
Panic.
And he went, woof, with me like this. And I thought, because he'd correct, but as he didn't have like full 12 and 2, 10 and 2 grip or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He must have just had like one hand on it or something like that.
So you've taken
it. And it just shot through his hand, the wheel. Like as I pulled, there was no alternate force. So I just went whack with the car. Again, I don't know how he managed to do it, but he managed to slam the brake or handbrake or something like that, and we skidded around like that. And again, like the car and the wall. Like that. I would have definitely been like hospitalised.
Yeah.
And it was just the worst decision.
Well,
he went,
stupid,
he went,
isn't
what
it?
Are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, yeah, my bad.
You need to tell the camera that was a stupid thing to do.
Awful thing to do. Yeah. Never ever do anything like that in terms of messing with someone when they're driving.
Never in a car.
When you're driving, especially when you're like,
you can shout when you're just like pissing out your mates. Like when we do it, you can shout panic. It's
yeah,
fine,
it's like 16 and you know, you're like 16 to 19. Your mates are just starting to drive, and you think you're a bit like, yeah, let's just play with him when he's driving.
Just play with him when he's driving. That should be snipped out. Oh, please, can you please get that bit for like the Instagram?
But yeah, that was
the thing is, I've actually got a mate that was like that as
that's
well.
That's gonna be the best thing. Just play with
coming up.
Just play while he's driving. Oh, it's gold. Yeah, that is absolute gold.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that's
something like that. Cat. Okay, you know, we're just trying to make it brand friendly.
I'm just playing with my driving.
Go then. What else
so my last one. I've never had like a proper near death thing, but I was nearly blinded.
What was it? Dog poo?
Yeah.
Was it?
No. So basically...
Was it?
So I was about, I'd say, either between the ages of 10 and 13, I can't remember exactly, but we was in my old house, and it was like bonfire night, whatever, so we was doing fireworks, and there was maybe 14, 15 of us, like friends, and also mums of friends have come around to my mum's house. We'd done like loads of like the rocket things going up. Everyone's like, well, yeah, it's all fun and that. And then there was like a Catherine wheel that we put down. And my mate's mum had had a few, but she was the one setting it up, right? So she's put it in the thing. But the way she's done it, she's angled it so if it was to come off, it went into the house because, it realistically, it should be on a circle like that.
Yeah.
She'd angled it so that it's going like that.
Yeah, it's going to fly off, yeah.
So it sets it off, it's going around, but it starts to like wobble like this, and we're like, what's going on there? It's like wobbling, flies off, and the speed of it is unreal. So anyway, I'm standing in the doorway, and I see it, and it's almost like you say, like in a previous podcast, it almost becomes slow motion, like,
time slows
damn,
down,
that's actually going to hit me in the face. Yeah. So that it's coming towards me, and I move just enough so that it hit me, but it didn't hit me in the eye, so that it would have hit me directly in the eye. So it's gone like this, and then it's hit me here, glanced off my face and gone into the kitchen. Right, it's like going mad. Like even to the day that we sold the house, there was marks from it like on the wooden surfaces.
Did anything on the side of your head?
Not burns, it was just, because it was so quick and it was like the side of my face.
Really lucky,
it was like glanced, but that's the thing, like even like an inch that way, and it
did
was
you go down?
Directly.
Did you go down, or were you like, oh my God? Or did you just go bullard?
Because bullard. No, because it didn't actually, it was almost surreal. Like I was like, did that actually just nearly, I nearly was blinded. Mm. But I didn't register until I'd sort of sat down and was like, rah, that was a Catherine wheel. It just smacked me in the face. It was mad.
Crazy.
So that was my near blindness experience.
Hornswoggle?
Mine are just...
That is now going to be your name. I've never thought to say
that. That's good, man. What's that from? That's the
restaurant.
That's the one that...
Right?
That's the one that... That's going nice.
Yeah.
Too big for my lad.
No, mine's just like one in a car on like a road in America where it was two roads and then like just... You know when it's just stones on either side?
Mm.
And I was driving, there was cars coming the other way and my wheel just clipped the stones, but it threw it out.
Mm.
And so then I, like, again, time slows down.
Just the last time you went?
Yeah, and then I, like, not the last time, not me and Joe, when I was away before. And as I pulled in, like, you come in, then you realise cars are coming the other way. And it was one of those, like, literally going like this to even it out again.
I've just got another great after this, a great story.
And, like, the car went, we're driving,
yeah.
And it went silent. Like, she's next to me, she didn't say nothing, because it was like, you know normally someone would scream.
Yeah.
I think it was like, it was so,
shock,
like, what's going to happen, that just went silent, managed to pull it back, and then like, when it was settled, she's like, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, that was cool. But then the only other one, which is not really, I had a night out where I got very drunk. The way it goes with me, always, over my course of my drinking life as an adult, is... I'm very good at handling my drink because I know my point.
Yeah.
But if I go past my point, I'm gone. Mm. Like I have a line like where it's after that, but that line is quite far on. But there's been nights where I've drunk heavily, stupidly, and done stupid things. Went out, I must have been like 18 or something, went out to, remember there used to be a club in the O2 Arena called Matter? It was known, it had speakers in the floor. So he was going there to see, I don't know if he's still about, but a house DJ called Laidback Luke. And we was going to see him, but we went for pre-drinks at my mate's house beforehand. And he had this huge house. He had like a games room downstairs where his dad had like a poker table. Mm. So we're all playing drinking games. We're playing with shot glasses like this. And it's just Southern Comfort straight is what we're shooting. And I can't drink Southern Comfort at all. I don't touch it at all. Because I don't know what's different about it to any other drink, but it F's me up big time. And I'm losing at the game. So I am gone. All I remember is apparently I went to the toilet.
You've told me this is good.
So I went to the toilet.
This is a near death experience.
Wait for it. Yes, yeah. So I went to the toilet, came out of the toilet. Apparently his mum walks down the room. I'm just standing there with my knob out, and put it back in my trousers. And she liked me after that, so must have been all right. So we go out for the night. My mate's driving because he's not drinking. In the car there, I fall asleep. You know when you're so drunk and you fall asleep. It kind of makes you worse sometimes.
Right, yeah.
So I wake up, I threw up down my top, and I'm in the back of a two-door car. Mm. When we're getting into where the O2 is, the traffic is mad, so the car's just not moving, it's just like this. My mate Rich is in the front passenger seat, and he goes, oh, I need a piss, so he jumps out of the car. I just push forward his seat and go, and all my mates in the car think I'm with Rich. Rich comes back after having a piss, and they're like, where's Dave? He's like, I don't know. He followed you out. He's like, I haven't seen him, he's just gone. So I haven't even made it into the club. I've just disappeared, and I'm absolutely fucked. I'll say this as well. All of this up until the key point at the end, I've pieced together from people talking to me afterwards. It's entirely blank in my head. Mm. Like I don't have any memory of it, which is the worrying part about this.
So
story.
You could have killed a person.
Could have done. Don't know what could have happened. I'm walking and. I don't know what to do. So my mates phone my brother, who's in the club, and said, like, Joe, look, Dave's in a bit of a mess, whatever. We need someone to come get him. So Joe doesn't know what to do because he's in the club, so he phones my dad. And my dad calls me up, and he's like, right, where are you? And this is when I used to work on, like, my dad on the stalls and whatever and doing deliveries to different places. And we, like, that's where we live around that area, so we used to deliver around there. So my dad just goes, look, you know where you are, so just go somewhere, tell me where you are, and I'll come pick you up. I just put the phone, whatever. Just put the phone down and I just wander. And so you've got the O2 Arena, you know the Blackwall Tunnel, which is the tunnel that links sort of the south and north side of the Thames. You go under, they're not close in terms of a walk. No. It's a big walk between them. And as you enter the Blackwall Tunnel, coming down the other side is like an emergency entrance ramp. Mm. I somehow get myself to the Blackwall Tunnel and walk down the entrance ramp, phone my dad. My dad's like, right, where are you? I'll come get you. Thinking I'm going to be at a hotel or whatever, or just like a place. And I said to him, oh, I'm at the Blackwall Tunnel. He goes, what? He goes, I'm at the Blackwall Tunnel. What do you mean you're at the Blackwall Tunnel? I went, I'm at the entrance to it. So my dad just puts the phone down because he's now shitting himself because there's no pavement in the tunnel. It's just the road. Yeah. So, but on either side, as you enter the tunnel, right on the entrance, there's like a sort of sloped pathway on either side. Yeah. Like just, anyway, because it's a tunnel, obviously. I walk and I just decide to sit myself on the bit that's like this. And the sobering moment when I woke up was I slipped and I fell into the road. And I was pulling myself up like this, and all I remember is a van blasting its horn. And as I got myself up on the side, it went like that and went past me into the tunnel. And this is like, as well, the tunnel's usually rammed, but this is late at night, so it was empty. So this, and he was probably doing faster than he should have been doing anyway, but he was powering it through. So I'm now like kind of sobering up, but I knew I was still so drunk that I remember thinking, I'm now sober here, but I wasn't physically in charge of myself. And then I'm just like looking around, I'm sitting on the side of this thing, and I just look and I can just see this thing walking down the road to me, and it's just a long coat. And I was like looking at it, and in my head I'm thinking, okay, look, I can't fight back, because whoever this is, they could do whatever, I can't do nothing, I can't do anything to stop this. The person gets right there, and I'm like this, like just, and I just look up, and all I hear is, excuse the language, all I just look up and a voice just goes, you're like a fucking mess, get in the car. And as it sobers up, I was like, oh, that's me dad. It's me dad in a long sheepskin. And then, and the worst bit about it was I get in the car, I'm driving home with my dad, and I tell my dad in my drunken state that, Rich threw up on me in the car and all the boys have kicked me out, and they've all just left me there, and they've all gone another night out, whatever. So my dad is livid with the boys, like proper angry. Mm. I get indoors, I go to sleep, I just pass out. Woke up in the morning, no hangover, nothing. Like, I'm just gone. And when I wake up in the morning, I wake up because my dad walks into my room and literally dashes the house phone at my head, like clatters me like that. I went, what are you doing? He went, phone every one of your mates now and apologise, because I've been battering down their doors all morning saying I'm going to come in and do whatever. And then I had to clean my mate's car for him and all this stuff, because it was like, it was bad, it was horrible. But that moment was like me sitting on the side thinking, wow, that could have been
sitting in the Blackwall Tunnel.
I'm interested.
That's a madness.
You get a shot of adrenaline. That's what probably
it kicks you back in. It's almost like something in your mind goes, wake up here. You need something.
You know when you're drunk and you end up having a fight, it's like you seem sober up so quickly.
It comes in, a line of sober comes in.
Go on, and what was your story you said you were going to tell?
Oh, just talking about when myself, John Bav and AK were in LA and he starts to drive down the wrong bloody highway.
What?
Oh, have you not heard of this?
No.
You never heard this? When they went for a big crash.
So, myself, the legend is John Bav, and another guy who worked with called Adam King. We've gone out to LA. There's a massive... I haven't told this, right? So,
this story's so good, though. You should tell it.
First things first, I don't have a driving licence. John Bauer has a driver's licence, but the plan was for Adam, the other guy with us, for him to be our driver, all right? He knows very well, getting onto the plane from Heathrow, his licence is now out of date, meaning he cannot get the karma out there, right? So Bab's still got a valid driver's licence, right? So he makes John Bab get the car in his name. So we think, all right, let's just the plan was still for Adam to be the driver, but just for kind of for the basis
to
be, in Bab's name. And Bab was so nervous, right? It's like it's an automatic. He's stolen an automatic. I don't know.
That's impossible.
I don't know how he's done it. So it's like, but anyway, we finally get to LA and it's pitch black and we decide we want a convertible, like three white boys or whatever Adam is. I don't know what he is. Anyway. Like, it's so dark. There's no need to put the roof down.
This is the bit. It's the middle of the night, and they decided, well, get a roof down.
They get the roof down. And there's all these like, tourists laughing at us and just going, anyway. So we finally... So Bab can't drive out. He's just so nervous. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Right? Automatic.
It was an automatic. To be fair, it was like a red Mustang. We must have looked like this. A red Mustang. Right? And then, so we've managed to... So in the end, they swap over. So they swap seats. So AK then goes in the front seat and he kind of drives us out. But the thing is fair, like Adam has lived in LA for a few years, so he kind of knows the streets and whatnot. So that's one part of the story anyway. So this whole week we spend in LA, what we're doing is illegal because Adam King should not be driving the car. He does not have a valid license and like that. And like, he just loves it though.
You're shitting yourself the whole time
you're
in the car.
I was loving it. I didn't really care. You know
Bab
what I mean?
Was, though.
Yeah, Bab was absolutely scared because it's like...
It's in his name as well.
Yeah, it's in his name. And the thing is, I just got, well, I don't know. I just thought it was a valid thing. You know what I mean? Whereas John is fucked because he should be the name kind of the driver and stuff like that. And anyway, we're three kind of Caucasian people driving around, like, essentially. Oh, this is another bit, right? We're about a week before Straight Outta Compton comes out, right? And he's obsessed that he wants to go and watch it in Compton. I'm like, AK, what are you talking about, mate?
In Compton.
In Compton, right?
So pulling up in a Mustang.
Does he want to die?
He's mental. he just loves it. So that's another part. Another part is when we actually get pulled over in LA.
No.
We generally actually get pulled over.
And who was driving?
AK, obviously.
Oh.
No, but before that is the freeway, isn't it?
Oh, no, this is after. I'm already building up to that. So... We are in our kind of district, so we stayed in Venice Boulevard, which is a really nice kind of place. It's a little bit like Camden, but on the beach, basically. Nice. It's a bit fucking weird as well. But we decided that we want to go to like the supermarket and get some like 40s, which is basically like just like the kind of, I don't know what it is. It's like beer, but it's like basically the drink they drink in all of the hood movies.
Yeah.
So we've got our 40s open, which again is against the law in America. You can't have open alcoholic container when you're driving. And we've got this gangster rap playing, right? John Bab's got his cap turned back. Right? And when you're kind of driving in America, if you come to a stop sign, you have to stop. Yeah. It's not like even if it's the most quietest road.
Even if there's nothing there, you have to come to a stop first.
It's like jaywalking.
So like Adam, the driver, he clearly hasn't stopped. He's gone straight through. And there was no like risk or danger, but all we hear is a siren.
Oh.
And it's like, oh my God. And
you've got the 40s on you.
In the moment, we're all shitting it. Because it's like, how do we actually explain this? Like, he shouldn't be driving.
Yeah, we've got
the open container. We've got
just turn down NWA.
We've got bloody ice cube kicking off in that ready speaker.
What did you do?
So, luckily, the police officer, it was proper nice. And he realised that we were British, that we were tourists. Because he, basically, the first question he asked goes, can I please see like your licence registration? And Adam puts on his proper posh voice, goes, oh, I'm really sorry, officer. My bit seemed to be in the Airbnb. So right there, again, the officer's thinking, if we were American, 100% we'd be a proper ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he realised as well, it'd be more hassle for him to write a ticket
to a non-national.
Yeah, to a non-national. So we still had a ticket. It was basically like a warning, going, do not do this. In fact, we've still actually got the ticket somewhere upstairs. So that was that bit. And anyway, this whole week, Bab is just, he's in bits. His stomach is just, because he just hates it. Because he's like,
there's an amazing photo of him sitting in the shade, isn't it? Like, they're in LA, the sun's blazing, and Bab's out in the garden, sitting in the shade under the tree, still writing scripts on his laptop.
So we managed to get the whole trip without any trouble. You know, Adam hasn't crashed or anything. Oh, he did actually crash the car, but then what?
Oh, my God.
But basically, what he did is they've got very high kind of like walkways there.
Yeah.
He's kind of ran the front of the car up. And then we've heard it, and he's gone, well, that's why you get a rental.
What was it?
So we've basically made it to the last day. And we need to go to the airport now. Yeah. But Adam has forgot to get his kids something. Yeah. So he goes, I just want to go shopping. I just want to go to the mall. And Bab's like, I just want to get to the airport. I want to drop the car off. Then I can finally
then I'm
relax.
Done, yeah.
So we go and we basically go to a mall. We basically go to a mall and he managed to get some like bloody Lego or something like that for his kid. And we're now on route to the airport, right? And they're massive freeways, they're like 6-7 car kind of freeways, and we have to turn right. So he's kind of pulled out to turn right, and he's kind of carried on. So he's going towards the traffic.
They're going into it.
And I'm going, AK, what the fuck are you doing? And he went, Oops. and he managed to quickly turn it round and kind of for about 20 meters we're going up the road and we're so lucky that it was a big break in the traffic.
He managed
to turn it around and then kind of turn. But it was just absolutely mental. And
the killer.
The beauty of this whole trip, the whole thing is once we drop the car back, right, take our bags out, we're about to get on the plane. He's actually forgotten the gift that we went to go and get.
It was still in his car.
That was such an Adam King thing, isn't it?
But it was meant to be such a like ridiculous time.
That is such an Adam King thing to do.
There you go.
There we go then. That is the end of this week's NSFW podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure you leave a 5-star review and hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Hit subscribe. Tell your mates about it. Thanks so much for watching on YouTube and listening in your ears. Corporate Dave, Sav and Horner, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Peace.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.